To headlines. This is David Lichtenstein. This week we have the last part of a four-part series with our incredible Rabbanim, Gedolim, Gaonim. We have Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky from Philadelphia, there's Kan Rosh Yeshivas, Rav David Cohn, the great Paisik from Flatbush, Rav David Yosef from Har Nof, we have Rav Herschel Shechter from New York City, we have Rav Nissen Kaplan from the Mir, and Rav Menachem Mendel Shafram from Bnei Brak. Five cities on this program all around the world. And we're going to conclude with three questions, shidduchim, solutions to prevent older singles, maybe some new ideas, and we're going to see whether these gedolim agree. Halacha and science, do we have to reconcile them? I mean, is there an obligation to say our rabbanim were scientists? Would you think less of your Rav, Rosh Hashiva, etc., if he didn't know astrophysics? He didn't know how the galaxies worked, or he didn't know how to fix a bunion. I mean, is that really the purpose of Rabbanim? So let's hear these Gedolim's opinion. And also, the last question we'll ask him about, from criminals, why don't, as a community, should we be coming out louder against them and denouncing them and say, sorry, New York Times, they're not part of our community. They may be wearing, a yarmulke, a beard, a hat, whatever. They're not part of us. It's just Purim for them. They're dressed up. Should we be saying these things? You can now get our radio show, which, by the way, is the most popular Torah program in the world. That's what I've been told by engineers. It's an app, Headlines Radio Show. You can get it now as an app, both on the Apple Store as well as Samsung, depending on which device you have. Headlines Radio Show. And I'm happy to say that Headlines 2, that's the volume of the Sefer, Headlines 2, should be coming out, Bezer Hashem, between Purim and Pesach, and it's going to be different than the first one, because besides all the topics we speak about, we will have excerpts on the bottom of all the Rabbanim, what their opinion is on these topics as well. So ask your Sfarim store, are you going to be stocking this after Purim? You understand that I have a little bit of a negias here. Before we start, I did want to say a short vart. This here talks about the mun. So it says, Vayancha, Vayarivecha, Vayachilcha, Eschaman. Hashem says, I distressed you, I afflicted you, I caused you aggravation, I fed you the mun. Which some mean to say that the mun was a cause of Vayancha, Vayarivecha, Tolhoikis, and Rishayim had to learn. But some we say that the mun had an element of distress in it, which is surprising. The mun, this magical food, what's the distress? So let me share with you a story. A fellow said, he was in Warsaw at the time, towards the end of his life, came to Warsaw, and thousands of people would try to get into him, but he came, he stayed in this tiny little house, and this yeshiva bacha pushed his way in mincha, and after mincha, the Chafetz Chaim said a vart. He said, the man, it says, the manna from heaven, the Gemara says, any time you wanted, any taste you'd imagined, that's the you wanted to taste like foie gras, foie gras. If you're a Shiva Bacha, like Yapchik, tastes like Yapchik. You're a health nut, tasted like vegetables, steamed vegetables, without any sauce on them. If there's any taste you wanted, so Chafetz Chaim said, what happens if a person didn't have any thought? When he ate it, he was mindless. Like so many of us, we make a bracha, we're not even aware we made the bracha, our lips mumble, we ate, we don't even remember what we ate. So Chafetz Chaim said, as mitracht nish tatas nish kintam, if you didn't think, it was tasteless. And the Chafetz Chaim concluded, every day we get mun from Shemaim. The mun is our portion. Those 16 hours, 18 hours, or 24 hours that we're up, that God gives, Achav Yachol gives us chiyas. Are you aware of it? Am I aware of it? I saw the Divra Yatsev, I believe it was Divra Yatsev, years ago at Tshuva, he said, somebody was davening. Somebody came over to the Klai Zimring and he said, I'm wearing my tefillin, I don't remember if I'm after davening or before davening. Imagine that. So he doesn't know if you finish Shacharis or Nisracha. My point is, mindless, that Chafetz Chaim says, if you don't think, it doesn't have any taste. And every day we get mun. We woke up this morning, a whole day. Imagine towards the end of life, if you had one more day, how you would plan every hour, every minute, every bracha to be mindful of what you're doing. So Vayancha, Vayarivech, he afflicted you and he gave you the mun. You know what the mun made us do? It made us be aware of that day. It made us have to concentrate on where we are. Vayancha vayarivecha. This week is the Parshas Haman. Let's try to be a little bit more mindful. When we make the bracha, do you know that there were gedolim They never ate something or when they said amen, if there wasn't another person to answer amen on the bracha. And why is it part of it? It makes you mindful. I'm drinking. I'm eating. What is it? Today, what a blessing. Trust me, all of us one day in our lives will say, wow, I wish I had one more day. Let's go to our fabulous program. And again, I encourage you, download the app, Headlines Radio Show. Let's go to our fabulous guests.
New topic. We're going to talk a little bit about Shidduchim here. And, you know, it's really a tragedy. All the singles, it's just a silent tragedy. It's almost a silent Holocaust for them. I heard from, you know, the Chevra Kadisha, they're doing more and more taharis about single women who never got married. You know, there's just not enough men. Why they leave, they leave the fold. Women are more, they stay religious. Guys leave the fold, statistics say. Many of them, I don't know, break down. Something happens. Men over 30, something weird happens. And so should we be doing more to try to catch kids, the boys when they're 25, the girls when they're 22, to try to push them to get married younger? And we should maybe loosen some of our tradition of separatism, of keeping them so separate. Here's an interesting thing. You know, the Gemara says at the end of Perek Aleph of Tainus that in the olden days, they used to go out, the girls on Rosh, and the boys, on Yom Kippur, the day of Yom Kippur itself. Could you imagine this? After Musaf. And on Tu B'Av. And they would mingle together, and the girls would say, marry me because I'm beautiful, or because I'm rich, or because I'm a yuchas. Today we don't have that custom anymore. So the Kolbe was a Rishon, maybe the beginning of the Achrayinim. He says that it's in Simon Samach Beis. He says, there are many girls whose fathers or circumstances don't allow them to get married. And he says, maybe they would sit at Shetal ben Rosham. Their hair would turn white. Imloy al yedei haminig hazeh. Were it not for the fact that they would have this minig, that the girls and boys would meet on Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur, he said there would be boys and girls whose, he said particularly girls, he says, here's his lashon. V'ulai hayu yoshvosh ad shetal bin roshan, imloy al yedei haminig hazeh, the kolboy in Simon Samach Bey. So the question is, should we be doing more after the boys are a little older, the girls a little, to allow them to mingle? You know, there's a woman, a wonderful woman in Muncie, her name is Judy Steinberger, where she had an idea. She said, after the chasanis, after the chuppah, there's usually an hour break waiting for pictures. He says, wouldn't it be so fabulous if people would take a room, and it cost a few hundred dollars, a chasan and kala would be a gift to all the singles, where boys over 25 and girls over 22, there would be a room, go mingle there, you're already all dressed up, put a few shadchanim in the room, and let them talk to each other. And they say, who knows, the Yetzer Hara is rampant? Well, that's good the Yetzer Hara is rampant, because that's why we get married. If it weren't for Yetzer Hara, nobody would get married, right? So let's hear what our Gedolim have to say about this, and we'll start again with HaGoyin Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky.
We have to try whatever we can do. But we should not mingle too much. It's a sakona. Mingling is sakona.
What would be if it was done with shatchanim or people there to oversee it?
Wonderful. Should be done that way.
Okay.
Now let's hear what Rav Shafran, he's from Bnei Brak, what he says. It's very interesting. He says, do it, but don't ask for Rabbanim, for Askama. Don't ask them to put their stamp on everything, so if something goes wrong, you have somebody to hang. Try it. And then he says, if you try it, maybe you'll be successful. Really, such practical advice.
He's right that things could be different. And when you change things like this, you have to take into account all the hashgachot. How do you say hashgachot in English? The outcomes of this in different aspects. Yes, things like this probably will change if it becomes more a bigger problem. Memele by itself will change. Telling the bottom to change things you say from one end to the other, change things very radically, has very much hashgachot, has very much different
impact.
Kinds of outcomes.
Yeah, outcomes. Yeah.
Outcomes, and you have to take that in chesed when you do it. I'm asking if it could help some older bochum for shidduchim. I'm asking if it could do different things also could make change that we start doing things. It has a lot of shkachot and different kind of things, and they have to be mitmoded with different problems. And there's always problems you have to be mitmoded with. And solving a problem with just mikomi in one thing is not so poshut. You have to.
So I'll tell you, that was an interesting.
Anyway, it's more probable to let things change by themselves. Such things. And
there was
it'll change.
There's a lady in Muncie, she came up with an idea. She said, you know, a lot of times people try to make get-togethers where boys and girls with shadchanim, they come together in the middle of the week. She said, people in the middle of the week, they're working. You tell a boy, go get dressed for a chasana, the girl, go get put on makeup. It's very hard. She said, after the chuppah in America, there's like an hour break between the chuppah and when the chasana comes in because the families go for pictures. I don't think they have that in Eretz Yisrael. So this lady said, why don't they take a room by every chasana where they have three or four shadchanim and a boy who's over 25, a girl who's over 22 or 23, they come together, the shadchanim try to. She says, everybody's dressed fancy already. It would be under the hashgacha of, it won't be a wilde zach, there'll be people there. And this way maybe we could stop, Rachmana Litzlan, ha-matzel nefesh eches mi-Yisrael. Imagine how many nefeshes you could be matzel. What would the Rav say to an idea like that?
I would say it's a good idea. But let someone do it without an official hechsher of this and this rov or this and this godel. Somebody should do it by themselves. They should do it. And if automatically there'll be some snagdim and some ba'ad and some neged. And these things are mitpateach.
Develop.
They develop themselves, a certain kivun. And someone should do it. But if he wants a hechsher merosh, right away, this and this Rosh said that we should make such a room. That's not the right way to do it. He should do it by himself, try it in small, in a certain way. And when things are matzriach, so you can't fight with atzkachot. And if it's not matzriach, so then you go down from it.
Let's hear the opinion of Hagoyin Rav Herschel Schechter, who says he would absolutely do it.
We are loosening the strings. What do you mean? We are trying to have people meet each other. It's a good idea. You should try to have boys and girls meet.
Now let's hear what Rav Nissen Kaplan has to say. Okay, and
I'll tell you. It's a hard question. I know people have today a lot of this kind of meetings. Such kind of things. I slipped out of my head. I know two or three people of mine that run such organizations that they have over 10 or 20 boys and girls older, and they put them, there's tables, and you move from one table to the other table. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
If they need, I can get you the information. I think that is much better from the idea of this Ralph. And I want to explain. He's right, in the old days, things were written down like that. It's brought down, but it's a slogan, it's a selekromim, and the choylis, so in necho, leilazeh.
And Yom Kippur.
But in our generation, the Zohar is very strong as well.
Have a rov there, have a shatzin there. We're not talking about to do it in a kerem. We're talking about it by a chasin.
What I mean to say, when you do it in a set house with a set plan, I think it's much more calm and it's much more normal. But it's in a chuppah, everyone could walk in. A person that is not really planning to look now for a shidduch, why not have a good time? You know, we had people that are dishonest also in our generation. When it's a wedding and everyone is dressed nicely and everyone is there and everyone is put together, you know, we don't know what could be in the end of the night in the wedding, yeah? And then these boys and girls are going to stay there for the whole evening. I think it's much better in the way that these people are doing it, that sounds like a kind of solution to help the older people.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was certainly a very interesting exchange. Now let's go to our next question. And these are really very personal, very relevant current questions. Here's the question. Open the news. Unfortunately, we see too many frumma people in yarmulkes, sometimes, you know, with a beard and pace, etc., being pulled away with handcuffs for doing really things that are against not only the Torah, the Aseres HaDibros. Well, should we as a community be quiet and just turn the other way? Or should we be saying, the Rabbanim, the Gedolim, they should come out and say, it's not acceptable to announce it, both to the Umas Olam, announce it to Frayin, and announce it to our community. It's not acceptable. What you have done is not what Ephraimi does. You are not part of our community with this behavior. Or should they be silent? Let's hear the opinion of what the Rabbanim have to say. Now here's Hagoyin Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky.
That's correct. Don't say it's not a part of the community. It's unfortunately it penetrated our community also. But we have to try to correct ourselves.
So a public announcement would be something that should be done?
Not specific for somebody, but in general.
Here's her of Mendel Shafran, the great Chassidus Shadayin from Bnei Brak.
Why we shouldn't do that? I don't think the Rabbanim have to be mixed into everything that someone does. There's no quota to such things. If you mean Rabbanim that make Gittin with Kfir, what about the Yidden that smuggle Samim? How do you say Samim?
No. We're talking about, we're not talking against, why don't the Rabbanim come out when somebody comes out and they've done a Maise Ovel, like smuggling Samim, and it's in the papers. We should come out, Rabbanim, as a community. This person does not represent our community. To come out with a strong voice as opposed to being silent to it, which sort of leads one to believe, like, if we don't come out against it, it's almost like we're being machshered. It's like shtika kaida. Why don't we come out as a voice and say, you smuggled Samim, you did this?
I don't think everything has to come out with official signatures and moduas, and you don't find the gvul. The next step will be, why don't Rabbanim come out if somebody doesn't pay taxes the way he's supposed to? And why don't Rabbanim come out if someone builds against the law? And why don't Rabbanim come out? You don't even know where you're going to stop with these things. Everybody knows Rabbanim are against smuggling, and everybody knows Rabbanim are against doing things you're not supposed to do. And if they're asked, they're supposed to answer the right way. Rabbanim that answer Gezer Akim is like this, and it's Mutter, it's also. These Rabbanim have to understand that they don't know what they're talking about. They're not supposed to talk like that. But to come out and everything, Rabbanim will say what they think. This is also some other sort of hashkofa, and everything you have to have Rabbanim to come out and say what they think about it. Of course, in our community, in every community, there's shulayim. Shulayim means, how do you say shulayim?
Chabla mesakrabim.
At the end. No. Shulayim is the end of the paper. How do you call it?
Okay.
The margin of the paper.
Right.
There's shulayim in every community, and the shulayim is a small percent. And everybody knows that this shulayim, if somebody's going to kill someone and some people will kill someone, we'll have to come out with a brief that we're against the tzichas and the tzichot, and if somebody does things, it's not that everyone has to come out on everything with official things. Dashkofis, everyone knows Dashkofis, and every Tov gives you over Dashkofis that he's against these things, and it spreads out the way it's supposed to be spread out. And you don't know how tomorrow these things are going to be used. You have to...
Okay, very good.
Here's from Yerushalayim, Rav Nissen Kaplan.
I'm not so up to the news who are the people that were in the scandals or not. I know there's a lot of scandals all over the place. But first we have to find out on every scandal exactly, you know, what the person did and what he did and how he did and why he did. And you know, to take a person out of your community because he did something wrong and you're embarrassing, forget about that the person has to be in jail if he did something wrong and he has to be locked up and he's dangerous and et cetera, et cetera, and he messed people's life. All of that is no question about it. But for example, he has kids. He has a wife with 10 kids. Now, he had his problem if he's sick or if it's a Yitzhahara, today people call the Yitzhahara illness, and he's in jail. And then we say he's not a part of us, and we kill all of his kids that he didn't do nothing wrong.
Well, respectfully, I don't think that we're talking about somebody who necessarily people every look it says leisignay leisachmay leisina. These were all given to Yiddish people. We're talking about the people who make these huge chil Hashems that end up in the papers, and we're talking about those who create really.
I'm not so aware. You know, I'm myself. I don't have, you know, internet, and I don't. I'm really maybe not so exposed. You know, I really see Abai and Rovin most of the day. I spend time with them. Sometimes also with Rav Huna and Rav Nachman.
Yeah, but Abai and Rav Huna talk about the Rami. They talk about the Rami all the time.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm not aware exactly. I'm not aware exactly on the kind of people that the Rav is really mentioning, so it's hard for me to apply. I'm just explaining. A lot of times people do disgusting things that cause a lot of chilul Hashem, really a lot of chilul Hashem. And it's terrible, yeah? But, you know, they have a family behind them, and the family, his wife didn't do nothing wrong because she married him, yeah?
I'm not
speaking when she stood behind him and she helped him. He has five kids.
But Knesset Yisrael also did nothing wrong. And I tell you that boys become fry when they say, look, somebody did this. Wow. And he's all, but if Gedolim or the Tzibur came out and they said, this is wrong, so then we have to worry about the rest of Klal Yisrael too?
I don't. I'm saying we have to down the Gufei Shel Dovah. We have to down the Gufei Shel Dovah. Understand? I don't know exactly the case, but you know, every time there's a person that did wrong has to be in jail, has to be closed down. But as a family, as a dominant effect as well, and we have to know when we would decide to take someone out, what means is out, so his kids can never get married.
You're saying that the Tshuvas HaRadvaz says, Al Gedoyli Hadoyli Es Mosin B'Dover Zev Lidin Al Kol Adam Yechidi. I think it's the Lashon of the Tshuvas HaRadvaz.
Exactly what I mean. With all the pain that it is and all of the life of people that are destroyed. You know, we have a Gemara in Makis, the Zayin of Udalas, at the end of the first Perek of Maya. Bezdin Sheregis Achas Lashivim Shonam Makis Chodlonis. And the Katlonis, I'm sorry, Katlonis. But the question is, I don't understand. The person is a Moritzeach. We need to get rid of these people. And we have different Gemaras that they put people in Kippur just to
the yeah.
But we see that Mitzav Sheni, the Gemara says how careful we have to be when we punish a person.
Yeah.
I heard once from Rav Moshe Feinstein, our God Ladol, right? I think all of us are under the umbrella of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe said the following vote. Again, I don't remember the pasuk, but the vort I remember very clearly. He said, the goyim also kill. If someone kills, they kill him. And we also kill if someone kills. Right? We have the halachas as a punishment. Today, actually, the world doesn't kill so much. We also don't kill so much. But the halacha is really, if someone kills, he has to be dead. You know, in our generation, the world, I think only seven states in America, you know, have yet punishment of death. But he said, what is the difference? He says, by us, by them, they punish because we want people to know that it's so bad to do it. And maybe we had a mistake and we killed the wrong person, but what we could do, we have to make the people to understand that it's terrible to kill. By us, how much it's important for us to give that message over. And at the same time, we're so scared to kill a person that doesn't deserve to be killed.
Yeah.
And this is the Pshat of Gemara and Marcus. So we, the choyte is, we are kamosh is kemen shechoto yisoyel. We try every time that the person will not get punished if he doesn't have to get punished. If his kids don't have to get punished, we want in one hand to be very strict, but in one hand at the same time to protect the person that doesn't deserve to get what he doesn't have to deserve to get.
Okay. And here is the last question we will be asking from this fabulous panel of Rabbanim. We know that in any number of cases, science, current science, contemporary science, does not agree with what Chazal opine, which way the sun rotates, etc., etc. Well, do we have to try to, you know, find a way to explain everything with Chazal and sort of say that, no, they are in conjunction with science? Or is it not the job of, was it not the job of Chazal to be scientists? They were moralists. They were halachists. They were those who gave the Torah Mesinai. They weren't scientists. They weren't scientists. They weren't chefs. They weren't biologists. They weren't pediatricians. They were Chazal. And I ask you more than that. If you have a Rav, a Dayan, a Rebbe, do you think less of your Rebbe because he doesn't know astrophysics? Or he doesn't know biology? Do you want to go to your Rav or your Rebbe to ask him, what's the matter with your bunion? Is that the, would you think less of your Rebbe if he didn't? So do we have any need to explain science? Chazal, do we say they weren't scientists? They were great Rabbanim, they were Gainim, they were moralists, they were philosophers, they were Nevi'im, but they weren't scientists, nor do we want them to be scientists. Let's hear what the Rabbanim have to say about this. Here's a Gaon of David Cohn.
I would certainly like to comment on this at length because I just finished a sefer which comes to combat this impression that the writer of the letter has. The name of the sefer, which is not yet published, I just submitted it, is HaTorah V'Chochmas Chitzonius, which stems from a kuntres that was in a sefer of mine called Avram Yogel Yitzchak Yeraneh. Firstly, what I'd like to say is that it's, I believe, and this is, I'm not the mechadish of this hashkofa, is that the person errs in the understanding of what Chazal is saying. We know in Agudas Chazal that so many stories, so many things are not being presented to us as is, but that Chazal, for various reasons, wrote things b'ofen remez. That's one. So that you don't take, when Chazal says certain numbers, so many places the Maral says that every number has a special significance. It sounds like such wild gusmois to say certain numbers, but Chazal are not giving us the number that we should understand it, that this is the exact number. Incidentally, this, what I'm saying right now, is challenged because there are other Gedolim that disagreed with this interpretation, and they say, no, if it says in Chazal, it's not a guzma. Chazal mean it. But I'm just presenting a hashkafa so that everyone agrees with, like the Agadita de Rabba Baba Chana and Baba Basra. There are things that they wrote beremes.
Right.
Beremes, now, I maintain, and this is not my chidush, that there's a concept, and we find it in the Gemara in a few places, where he said, how did he know that? The Gemara says he knew it because sod Hashem li reyev. Rava was able to discern 50 different types of blood. And they couldn't understand where Rava knew it. There are many places where you have things, and that they're based on, he called them sodini. How do you know it? Sodini? Sod Hashem li reyev. That's A. B, when Chazal are telling us certain, in quotes, scientific facts, they don't mean science as we say the word science. Halacha is not based on scientific facts. Halacha is based on the five chushim. We're not talking on agada now. Halacha is based on what a person perceives with the five senses. Anything above that, anything below that, which we would term as different olamos, has nothing to do with science. So that, let me explain. There is a strong argument that halacha is based on the concept before what you just mentioned before.
I spoke about mermaids, snakes.
No, not mermaids. I'm not talking about that. You said combustion. I'm having a senior moment. Spontaneous generation.
Yes.
Right. Spontaneous generation.
Right.
So it could very, very well be that spontaneous generation is not true. Pasteur disproved it. Albeit, I understand that there's some very reputable scientists that don't agree with the Pasteurian doctrine, which they would say. But halacha is limited not to the reality of this of the world, the way it actually exists that we know with our chachma. In other words, the perception of our chachma is a different world of perception. Halacha is based on our perception limited to the five senses. And limited to the five senses, there is spontaneous generation. I'll give you an example. If you see a Nagia in a Sefer Torah, only through a magnifying glass, the Sefer Torah is kosher. Okay. If you see scales on a fish, only with a microscope, it's not a kosher fish. Why is that so? Because we're not interested if it has scales. We're interested if it has discernible scales based on the five senses. That's halacha. Everything above and below that is not within the realm of how halacha sees it. Halacha sees the sun coming from here and going to there. So it's uvah shemesh v'zorach hashemesh. It's the way our five senses perceive it, not the way chachma per se perceives it, but the way the five senses perceive it. That's what halacha is based on. So that takes away a lot of the kashas that these people have. The same thing with the bugs in the water. If with a microscope, we always see all kinds of things swimming around in water, in the purest of water, that doesn't make the water usser. Why? Because you can't see the bugs with your naked eye. That's a halacha. The question is, how much of the bug do you have to see? Do you have to see the shape of the bug from the Rashba's mashma? No, if you see a moving dot, that's called I see the bug. You don't have to see the shape of the bug, but I have to see it. And if I can't see it, unless I use a microscope, in halacha, it's not a bug. The scientists will say, but don't you see it? Look in the microscope. I say, I see it with the microscope. This water is kosher. So that takes away a lot of the questions that we have. I must tell you that there is a plethora of things that are in Chazal that scientists just learned 60, 70 years ago, that the Chazal knew it, and it's clear as day. The whole thing, Ish Mazriya Tchila, Yeledes Nekei Ish Mazriya Tchila, the Zohar, that the Maskila made fun of because they didn't understand it. But 60, 70 years ago, science all of a sudden, because of they were able to see the X and Y chromosome, came up with this great chidush, which the Torah said. We know that one can't give birth without conception. Ishiki Sazriya means something else. Doesn't mean if she conceives. It means if she's Mazras. And I don't want to go into the particular, I've published this, but it's something that science didn't know till 65 years ago. Do you know, Guttmacher has in a book that he wrote in the 30s, that science didn't know till about 1860 that the child is really a combination of the father and the mother, that whatever each one contributes is the total child. And then science originally, some scientists maintained it's all the matter of the mother, but the father is the fertilizer. And others held just the opposite. It's like you put a twig into soil, and the mother is the soil. Science, big deal, thought that, and Chazal knew, the Gemara Nida, what the father contributes, what the mother contributes. There are so many things that we have in the Torah that's a kash on science. So it's either Sod Hashem Lirayev, one answer, or maybe some of them just because of their perception. I don't know. They didn't. I don't think they had certain instruments that we don't have. I must tell you, Lahavdil, I remember reading in a scientific journal that they found an instrument from Greece, which is tantamount to saying that the Greeks had the atomic bomb. That's how they were developed. But of course, once there was the French Revolution and they played down the knowledge of their antecedents, so they played down everyone's knowledge. Even Chachmas Yevonos, which is very appropriate because it's Hanukkah now, but this was a beetle of everything that took place before. So there is that attitude of being mevatel what those that came before, what they knew. But certainly, because thanks to the Maskil and thanks to the Yiddish Apokursim and thanks to Bechlal Sein Yisrael, of course, they did whatever they could to undermine the Chachma of the B'nai Torah of Tanoim Amoraim and the Torah itself. So that's my presentation for the time being. Go ahead, please.
So you're saying many of the riots that they weren't are obviously because they're talking in metaphor. But at the end of the day, the question is, were they signed? Is their science absolute or not? What would the Rav's opinion be?
Well, I believe that there is no way that we can say, even in a scientific fact, that they were wrong. Because as far as halacha was concerned, their science, as far as halacha is concerned, meant how this thing is discernible by the five chushim. That's one mahalach. And there's any given thing that you're ready to make fun of because of the science that we know, you can't, because you don't know whether the person was speaking by fin remez, which we know a great deal of our God is just that. Okay. So there is no way that we could laugh at them, that's for sure. We're not sure what are they presenting here. In the story of Rabbi Baba Chana, are they presenting reality? I don't think anyone learns like that. Of all Gedolei Yisrael that interpret Rabbi Baba Chana. That's my answer. The answer is you can't refute it. Because it could have been said with a totally different approach. There's no way to refute this. We don't know. There could have been those that knew it with Soda Shemli Chayef, and there are those that didn't even mean to present the world to you. They're presenting something else.
Even though Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said, V'nirin Devreyem Devreinu, so he seemed to be of the opinion that they could know science better.
That could be, yes.
Okay,
not science in general, this particular thing.
Okay. Here's
in
a question.
In fact, those who want to interpret that it's only Nirin that way, but it's not really Alibidamus. But again, is this presentation agadic or is presentation halachic? What is the kavana here? We don't know many a time.
Okay. From B'nai Brak. We have Hagoyin Reb Mendel Shafran.
They should be heckled, say they were not signed, since they used the science that was the Ungenuben in that time. They were not scientists, and that was not their specialty. Science was not the thing. There's no mysterious in science. And we have to know how to look at science. The kudas from such a shaila comes from that whoever doesn't know science is seltem epis. If I would say, my Rebbetzin knows how to make a Kegel, how you say Kegel in English, I don't know, better than Moshe Rabbeinu. A Kugel. My Rebbe knows how to make a Kegel better than Moshe Rabbeinu. Is that a Zilzel in Moshe Rabbeinu?
Would that be a Kfira, you're asking? Would that be a Kfira
in the Chesaron, how to look at Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm not Machshir Moshe Rabbeinu good enough if I say my wife makes a better Kegel than him that he could make?
Right. Is it a chesaron to say that the Chesaron didn't know Windows?
I think everybody will say it's not a chesaron. Why? Because making kegel is not such a big yisod in the Messiah's Torah and in the Avodas Hashem that someone that doesn't know how to make kegel is also not a chesaron in the mensch. Now, a chesaron in ideas and science, in astronomia, in anything of science. If we look at science as so important that if somebody doesn't know something in science, feltem epis, then we're having a problem here. No, the whole gisha is wrong. Looking at science, mada and chokhmah, the chassan, if somebody doesn't know chokhmah means, it doesn't interest him. Whatever was known in his time, and he doesn't know, it doesn't interest him in Ganson, then seldom in the shifat to know chokhmah. But if he knows what's going on in that time and what's on him at that time, it's no chassan if he knew wrong. If he thought right. that this. Is a galgal that turns the sun. What's the difference if there's a galgal that turns the sun and doesn't turn the sun? If there's no Messiah in the Torah on it, so the galgal does turn the sun. All the Chachmim is wrong. The sun and the Yerevana and everything is mechubat to some galgal, that a big round wheel that's shakuf, that's transparent. And this big galgal is turning, and it turns the whole thing. Is it the Chassan and the Rambam that he thought different? No, that was the science that was on them in that time. And if the Torah didn't get no Messiah, son, it's just like how to make a kegel if he knows better or less. It's so important, prat, in the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu or the Tanoim or the Rom, if they thought different.
From Yerushalayim, Harnuf, the great, the Bnon Shel Kadoshim, the son of Rabad Yosef, Harav David Yosef.
Okay. Oy vay. We believe that Chazal knew everything. Chazal were the best scientists in the world. Some things changed from the time of Chazal to our time. When Chazal say that there is no creation can live more than 6 months if he doesn't have a bone, we have to believe in that. Even if we see now it's not like that. It's because it changed. Something changed from the time of Chazal about the nature of the world. But we can see that Chazal, they didn't have any machine, and they knew all the way of the world, Tkufot, Mazalot, Moladot. If you learn Rambam, Ilchot Kiddush HaChodesh, if you learn Masechet Rosh Hashanah, you see that Chazal knew all the space, not only Earth. They knew about the sun and the moon and the stars. And they knew everything. So if they knew everything like that about Kiddush HaChodesh, they knew that. And without any machine, of course, they knew everything. And as I said, if something we see it changed now, it means that the nature of the world changed. Or
so,
maybe we make mistake.
So Rav Yosef, the Gemara says that when they had the machlokes, if the sun goes around the earth or the earth goes around the sun, so Rebbe said, the royanius devreya me devreinu. So Rebbe himself agreed that they knew more. So why do we... I want to ask another question. Your father was the greatest Rav we've seen probably since the Rambam, right?
I don't want to compare my father to anyone. Everyone in his generation was great.
Okay. When I say great, he did more for Am Yisrael, for Rabim Heshev Me'avain, right? So if your father didn't know biology or wasn't a mathematician or a physicist, would you think less of him? Would you think more of your father if he knew how to be a cook, how he knew make kugel, knew how to make science? Would you think more of him?
I agree with that, of course. But, as I said, from the other side, Chazal knew about things like that, about the nature of the world. I want to tell you, you know that the Christians, when they made their calendar, they asked Chachmei Israel. When Columbus went to discover America, he took Chachmei Israel with him. And you know that they learned the Gemara. The calendar of the Christians was made according to the Gemara. And after they saw Harambam, they saw some details that they were wrong about their calendar. They skipped 11 days. They made a convention, the Christians, about 600 years ago, and they skipped 11 days. You know, in 1900, the year of 1900, they skipped January 1st. Why? Because they wanted to skip, to be exactly like our Gemara, our Rambam, Gemara. It means, if you learn Rambam, Ilchot Kiddush HaChodesh, you see the wisdom of a Rambam, and Rambam learned it not because he was a scientist. Rambam was a scientist, he was a doctor, but Rambam knew that from the Gemara.
So how do we understand Rayani as
Israel, we cannot imagine how great was the wisdom of Chachmei Israel. You know, there is a story that Hatam Sofer once was giving shiur, and he asked a strong question against Rambam. One of the students smiled and said, he told Hatam Sofer, okay, Rambam was a human, Ben Adam, and he made a mistake. Hatam Sofer looked at him and said, you are Hamor. Everybody was shocked. Hatam Sofer, the great Talmid Chacham, so gentleman, and nice, soft, he spoke like that with his student in the shiur. And after the shiur, they asked him, why did you embarrass him like that? He said about Rambam, he is a human, he is Ben Adam. Im Rishonim Kivne Adam, Anachnu Kachamurim, the Gemara said,
right.
If we feel that the Rishonim, they are like human, we are like donkeys. So we have to have respect.
How do we understand the Gemara that says...
Before we talk about Chachmei Israel.
So how do we understand Nirin Devreya Me Devreinu? How do we understand that?
Yeah, the Gemara, Masechet Pesachim, about some subject, argument between Chachmei Israel, and if you look at some Rishonim, I just published a book about that, about Zeta Kochavim, and some Rishonim explain that the real thing that Chachmei Israel were right. Look at Shita Mekubetzet, Masechet Ketubot, Daf Yud Gimel, he explains that very well.
What did Rebbe mean?
Also, what?
What did Rebbe mean when he said Nirin Devreya Me Devreinu?
Yeah, Nirin Devreya, he thought that about that he was wrong and they were right. But if you look at Shita Mekubetzet, he explains that Gemara, that the real thing was, the bottom line, Rebbe was right, not Chachmei Umot HaOlam.
From Yerushalayim, here we have the opinion of Nissen Kaplan.
I will stop the shoyl in the middle.
Yeah.
I will say that we have a Tshuvas Chasam Sefer that says that they knew what is going on. He speaks about the Gemara, the Basra, Chaloin, Chama Yetzah from one side and comes out from the window. And we know. Is also Barabbas. And the Gemara says, and they ask the Chasam Sefer how it stems with science. The Chasam Sefer and Shuva says that it's not a stira, and he explains exactly how it works out from our Gemara. What that?
Tadik Dalad Amid Bezim Sachim.
Okay. Second, I'm taking out my Sachim. They ask the Chasam Sefer. The Chasam Sefer and Shuba explains how it fits. And he's not Mekabel, that they were not science. I would send this person as a Sefer of Arav Bagat. It's called Nachalei Limud. Arav Bagat, he was a Shiva of Keren Bihavne.
Right.
For 20 years. I think he ran once for president of Israel. He has a sefer of 5 volumes. It's called Nachalei Limud. And he explains every one of these Gemaras with pictures that fit exactly to our day science.
But it's a beautiful sefer.
The guy will see that, he will be blown away.
Yeah, but on that Gemara Gufa, Amar Rebbe, Venirim Devrayim, E Devrayinu.
All of that he explains.
Rebbe says they're right, and we're wrong. So if Rebbe was able to say we're right, why can't we say they're right?
I'm saying, for that we have a Chasam Sefer. I will tell you, a lot of times people ask me, they say a pshat in the Machlekes, Yaakov Avinu, and the brothers were the Achim. The Achim taught like that, the brothers taught like that. And a lot of times people have such kind of hesbeim. And they want to know, the hesbeim makes sense, the hesbeim doesn't make sense.
Uh-huh.
And I tell them, Alamol, I'll tell you, could be your pshat is good, could be this is a nice pshat, the machlekes, Yaakov with the Achim with the brothers. I'm sorry that, you know, I was not focusing when I'm talking to you, but I found the Gemara of the Basra Chofei Amud Beis. I couldn't focus because it was, I was shivering that I forgot the Gemara. So I'm sorry I found it, but the Basra Chofei Amud Beis, the Demelech Sadro, the first two lines of Chofei Amud Beis and Bobe Basra, and on that the Chasim Seifa speaks. Chasim Seifa goes on another Gemara and Bobe Basra, but the Gemara says, Anoidar Mina Odoim, that is also the Gemara of Dovim,
yeah.
And the Cham of the Gemara says that she's red because she goes near Gehenim. The Gemara says that she's really not red, but the reason it's red because by night it's near the Gehenim. And these two Gemara the Chasim Seifa speaks about.
So do you feel that the Chazal were scientists?
Yeah. I'm saying again, you know, there's a lot of questions about it, but the Chasim Seifa is a safe thing again. So everyone that is hard for him to understand that, if you take the Sefer Machaleli Mutzak Marav Bagad, and he's a open-minded person, if I would say, you know, proud and, you know, Talmud Chochem, but he's secular, he's very down to earth with pictures, and it's amazing how he goes over most of the Gemaras. I can't say that everything is clear and he writes down. It's over 2,000 pages on every one of these Gemaras.
But can I ask you a question?
With science,
let me ask Rashida, if you see Rebbe was okay with us saying that they're right and we're wrong, so clearly he's saying that we're not scientists, they're scientists, and they're right and we're wrong. I think it was Rav or Rav, I forgot the Gemara Chulin, he lived with a shepherd for 2 years to learn the Simone Trefis. So why did he live with a shepherd? To go figure out what's Simone Trefis. He didn't do a stackle baraisu barialm. He said, this is science. I'm not a scientist. I have to learn Trefis. You go to a shepherd to learn Trefis. Like, why do we want... Here's the question. Why do we want to put the hat of scientists? Were they astronomers? Were they mathematicians? Were they computer experts? If you asked Rav, are you a computer expert? He said, computer experts? They learn a buy-in Rav of us interested me to be a computer expert. Why do we feel a need to make them mathematicians, biologists, computer mevinim? Was Felton Zeiss?
So I'll answer it in a nutshell. First, the reason we know that they were scientists, because we know that the moon and all the cheshbonos, that it's quite impossible to figure out. Today, we know much more because we have so much more technologic, and we see that the Gemara was completely right in the cheshbonos. Yeah, he learned all these things, and we're talking the calendar for years.
Yeah, but I was in Mexico.
I'm telling you, I was in Mexico,
and I saw a time clock that was created by the Aztec civilization 1,500 years ago, that today didn't spoil the mumchias, how they could tell the shadows. It was unbelievable. So people in those times understood time. It's a dover that's understandable. But Verit Gebet, why should we want to make Rashi a physicist? Why should we want to make Abaya a biologist? Was Felton Zeiss? When you looked at Reb Nachum, did you say, I respect Reb Nachum because he's an expert in game theory, or he's a doctor, he could tell me how to cut a nerve? That's why you looked at Reb Nachum for? Was Felton Zeiss? Why are we putting this peckle on them?
Because if we would not put the peckle, some people, again, we're putting it because this is what I believe in, and this is what the Chasam Sefer explains to me. But the reason it's so important, and this is the reason I cut the question in the middle, a lot of times people that have these questions and they're not come to the same conclusion that we are coming now, that they did know science, they start to think that the halachas were wrong, and in our generation the halachas different. The next step from the coming to the conclusion that they were not science brings people to wrong maskanas in halacha. Mm-hmm. And they learned that the Torah was not value to our generation. And this is the reason it's dangerous. And this is the reason, really, I'm going backwards, because I know, and I'm not going out to the whole stipler how we know that, but we know that the Torah was real, and the Torah does not have mistakes, and the Torah was not written because they didn't know things, and we accept the Torah like it is. So people think that these people did not know what is going on, and this is the reason they said what they said. And if they would know, they would say different. That's the danger. This is the reason you're asking why. You're asking again. I don't have a doubt about it. But you're asking me why it's so important for me to stand behind it. What is the difference to me? Yeah? Why am I trying to bring you the Chasam Sofer? Why am I maybe yes, maybe not? I think people that did not have this Ashkafa, that it's, they were science, etc., the leading of that could bring to the wrong.
Well, it's been a big and from Manhattan, we have a Goyen Rav Herschel Shechter.
Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, which is referred to by the Pesachei Tshuva at the end of Yeridei, when they talk about death. What's the definition of death, and when does a Chevek Kadisha bury the person? So the Chasam Sofer writes in that Tshuva about breathing. That breathing is the siman. The Chevek Kadisha waits when the person stops breathing. They wait 15, 20 minutes, and then they bury him. So he writes there that the Poshet, that the Chatanoim picked up all of their signs from the Chachmi Umasoilam. They didn't have a tradition, the Ishmael Pish, Moshe Rabbeinu. All of the inyanim of science they got from the Chachmi Umasoilam. So if the Chachmi Umasoilam made a mistake, okay. Look, the dinim that are based, if you have a din that's based on a mistaken science, or the Pashtus is that the din should not be accepted any longer. There's a sefer on Chulin that's called Doravi. It's written by the first great-grandchild of the Chasam Sofer, who is named after him. His name is Moshe. It's like the Chasam Sofer's name. So he has a famous introduction. The introduction to the Sefer HaChol is really an introduction to the whole Torah Shabbat Peh. So he discusses this issue. What do you do when there's a Gemara that has a din based on a mistaken science? So he thinks that he has a contradiction between different sources. Some sources seem to say that the din is still binding. Sometimes sources say the din is not binding. So he says he thinks it depends. If when the Tanoim formulated the din, it was already known that this was misinformation, so then the whole psak was based on an error. You're not allowed to follow that psak. But if at the time that the Tanoim developed their halacha, this was assumed to be accurate scientifically, this piece of information, then the din is binding, even though later on we find out that it's not accurate. I didn't understand why it should make a difference. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's a toys, so how can you be obligated to follow a psak that was based on a mistake, even though at the time that they said it, it was not known to be a mistake. But on this Gemara, by the spontaneous generation, Reb Shlomo Zalman and others interpreted the Gemara, then it means that it looks like a spontaneous generation. Doesn't necessarily mean that the Rambam...
The Gemara of the mermaid and the 8-year or 9-year pregnancy of snakes.
Yeah, this I don't know. Is it relevant? L'halacha? It's not relevant. L'halacha. We don't have to worry about it. But things that are relevant, see, the spontaneous generation, the Gemara has dinim based on this assumption. So how can you still be obligated to observe that din? So Shlomo Zalman says, no, it looks like a spontaneous generation. So the din depends on what it looks like, doesn't depend on what it really is. Bye-bye.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the Rabbanim for the time that they gave to answer these questions. And their time is so valuable. They have so many people call them, etc., pester them. So we'd like to personally thank, on my behalf, on behalf of the thousands of listeners to this four-part series. We've had over 40,000 listeners. So I'd like to take the opportunity to thank these Ma'iris HaGedolim, these wonderful, amazing Rabbanim, for the four-part series and for the the effort they took in addressing these questions. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. This is David Lichtenstein for Headlines Radio.